Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Leportovin Group Investment Update conference call. I will now turn the call over to David Leportovin. Please go ahead, Mr. Leportovin. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Welcome to the first Leportovin conference call from our new home. Welcome, everybody, and thanks, everyone, for your support. I know it's been a pain in the neck with forms and stuff, but we thank you. Really, I've got on the call here, we've got Mark Rinfret, Portfolio Manager, Fletcher Hemons, Portfolio Manager, and Aaron Hoffman on the call as well, research. Many of you know a lot of these people. We'll get right into it, and then we'll go, I'll open it up for questions afterwards. I'll quote Mario Gabelli, Portfolio Manager in the United States, who just before the election said, "The good news is one of them will lose." And I'm talking about Hillary versus Trump. It's amazing. I mean, looking back at history, it'll be something that probably always remember. It was also amazing how there was unanimous consensus that if Trump won, the unanimous consensus was the stock market would drop. And I got to say, it reminds me of a period in 1991 where everybody knew that if the U.S. went to war with Iraq, that the stock market would drop. And sure enough, when the bullets first started flying, the Dow futures plunged. But by the time the morning woke up, the futures were higher and the stock market began to surge. Kind of the same thing happened with Trump. We got the result that the investors were fearing. Dow futures were showing that the market was going to open down about 880 points. Futures paired their losses, would look like about a 250 point down drop at the open. Markets opened flat and then started going higher. So let's try to explain like what the heck was happening. What you may not know about the reaction of the market, so we all know that the stock market did the opposite of consensus, went up, but what you may not know is that same day that the stock market went up, the day after the Trump victory, the bond market had its worst single day in 34 years. And so if you bought a long bond, ironically, as a flight to safety to protect your stock holdings, that day, if you bought a long-term bond, you lost 4.2%, or the equivalent of the Dow dropping 800 points. The good news is, in our portfolios, we own no bonds. I'll put a little dig into my old company, National Bank, because one of the things that was on the questionnaire, or your what we call the Know Your Client New Account form, was what kind of risk would you like? And so clients had to choose a box, and most people chose the balance. Unfortunately for National, that meant you have to own bonds. So one of the battles that we had was in this, quote, supervision, was that they were going to force us to have a higher bond exposure because we literally were at zero. And that turned out to be the right thing, but I know that the Canaccord investment objectives are quite confusing, but they're way better in terms of asking you how much risk do you want, not if you check a box, you must have bonds or you must have stocks. But anyway, I'll keep going, but it's good that we were in the right spot. Let me talk for a minute about the good and the bad about the political outcome in the United States. And again, I'm not speaking from any kind of social issues here. I am speaking only from an economic and capital flow and stock market reaction. So we can have these kind of conversations over a coffee or a beer, but we're just talking about your portfolios here for a moment. So the bad, okay? The bad part of it is this, you know, the America made a choice, and probably either way, they were going to choose on either candidate a turn a little bit for the worse. And what I mean by the worse is both candidates all of a sudden celebrated a position that was against global trade. And this is something we're going to monitor because we need to know if it was campaign rhetoric, but it is going to be tougher to bring trade barriers down, and hopefully it's minor, but trade barriers will start to happen. So, you know, if we look back, you know, at the 70s and 80s where there wasn't as much global trade, inflation was higher, the Canadian dollar was lower. I mean, so from a global trade perspective, ironically, it's more negative for Canada than it is the United States, or it's far more negative for China than it is the United States. But, you know, it was our view that the Canadian dollar was in a range before of kind of 75 to 78 cents. We got to tick that range down a little bit for the time being to, you know, a cent or two lower in that previous expected trading range. The good from an investment standpoint is U.S. tax reform. I mentioned this on my previous call, but corporate profits are reported after the taxes. So your biggest single expense can be taxes. If corporate taxes are in fact going to go down, which I believe they will, profits are going to go higher. That's good news for us as investors because we want to earn dividends and we want to make capital appreciation, and capital appreciation often happens when profits are going up. Another interesting market reaction, and we talked about this in the last call, was that we were emphasizing, de-emphasizing consumer staples like Procter's and Gamble's and things like that. And we said, well, those are getting very, very expensive. That U.S. financials look very cheap, and cyclicals like airlines and chemical companies and industrial companies. And the interesting thing is that the reaction of the stock market was the consumer staples, utilities, telecommunications stocks, the safest stocks dropped under after the Trump victory. Banks took off, cyclicals took off. Bank of America, for example, up 24% in the last 2 weeks from a pre-election to where it's trading today. From a perspective of where the economy is going, look, the U.S. economy is showing more strength. I mean, it's not robust, but it is picking up. The unemployment rate is well below 5%. And as a result, there is a market for predicting an 87% chance that the U.S. Raises its interest rates in December. And so that will have implications. As I mentioned, the bond market fell, and which means that rates have gone up. And U.S. 10-year bond yields were 1.3% in August. Today they're 2.25, so you're up almost one full percentage point. I've said this before, the United States has a far greater ability to withstand within their economy higher interest rates. I think Canadians have Royal Bank already raised its mortgage rates this week, 0.4%. I think that's going to weigh on a Canadian consumer, which is amongst the highest indebted in the world and the highest in the G20. So, ironically, one of the analysts that I had followed for years, a guy named Tony Dwyer, who is a chief market strategist at Canaccord Genuity, ironically, and again, I'm not married to any research from any of the firms, but he did a piece, when the yield curve steepens, in other words, when interest rates go up in the 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 years and out, as much as they have in the last week, the stock market has gone up 6 months later from the time of the interest rate move, it's gone up 100% of the time. So touch wood, it looks like that would be the case again. So, you know, the good news is we didn't react And it was a bit frustrating for some clients, I know, because some of them were in transition and they wanted us to be able to react to the markets. I was excited. I saw the future sound. I was ready to buy the next day. And as I said, the market ended up going up. So we were well positioned going into it. We didn't react. Going into the election, every indicator that we look at says stocks are going to move higher and not lower. And things like the cash on the sidelines was getting near record highs. The sentiment of the average investor was at the lowest percentage for the year, near the lowest percentage of consumers. So everything was like, everyone was in nervous mode. And when you have that much money sitting on the sidelines and everyone expects a certain outcome with investing, if everyone's on one side of the fence, it usually pays to go the other side of the fence. So that being said, our investment thesis remains intact for the remainder of this year going into 2017, that capital flows around the world. The cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry, and again, we can talk all we want about if you don't like the Trump policies, but from a cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry, the U.S. economy remains amongst the strongest in the world. And number two, they're going to start raising rates, so it's a strong U.S. dollar. They'll be the first to raise rates in the industrialized world. It means a strong dollar, and it means capital flows to the United States and mostly to their stock market. You know, ironically, again, Canadian investors up until the third quarter, because that's what we have data on, have poured more money into bond funds than they have stock funds. So isn't that ironic that, the average Canadian has definitely lost money from this election, not gained money. So, again, I'm happy to report that we've been well positioned. I welcome higher rates. I mean, for clients looking for income, and the great news is a company like Verizon was trading at $51 before the election. At $47, you're a stone's throw away from a 5% dividend and a growing income stream. Look, rates are going to go up. They're not going to go up to 10%, so they'll probably go up. Maybe the peak in the cycle will be 3.5 or 4 on U.S. short-term rates. That's still not as good as the dividend you're going to get on some of these great companies. I think there's going to be a tremendous opportunity in Canadian preferred stocks. Again, how many times have we had this conversation? We've lightened our load on those, and there's going to be a fantastic opportunity. I think I'm very excited this year about a sport in Canada called tax loss selling. We need to do the opposite of when everybody's selling their losers. That's when you can create some unbelievable bargains. Sometimes we hold those bargains for short periods of time, and sometimes we just say, wow, what a great entry point on those stocks. So that's it. I don't have much more to say. It's not really a new story, but it's certainly one that was topical because the election was on the minds of a lot of investors, as it should have been. So, operator, if you could open it up for questions, we'll take a few questions.
Certainly. If you wish to queue up for a question, press 01 on your handset now. If you choose to withdraw your question, you can press the pound sign. So our first question is from Mark Aronson, private investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, David, it's Mark. Thanks for organizing the call. This just kind of quick one back to your point about Trump obviously being a guy who's going to steer things towards less trade and more towards, you know, an American-based economy that's good for the U.S. and kind of trading with partners only, you know, when it's directly to the U.S.'s economic advantage and not so much to the partner's economic advantage. All of that stuff obviously has the potential, and it comes down to how much you believe he can really do real damage versus how much is just going to be continued rhetoric. Potentially damages part of the investment thesis in terms of the basket of big global, U.S. global multinationals that we've been invested in. So I guess question for you, sort of a couple different parts. Number one, and you partially answered it, but just touch back again on, you know, where your head and more importantly where you think the market's head is in terms of, you know, how much real damage he's going to do, you know, the 45% Chinese tariff, the repeal of NAFTA, et cetera, number one. and the impact of that. Number two, you know, do you have any thoughts about new opportunities based around the kinds of things he is going to do? For example, he's talked a lot about major infrastructure spending. He's certainly going to create environments where American-based companies that are operating within the confines of the American economy are going to be in better shape. You know, and it may be too early, but, you know, do you have some thoughts in terms of new opportunities? And number three, I guess the last piece is, you know, how do you hedge against if we're wrong and he actually does put too much of this stuff he's been talking about into play and does cause real damage and kind of throws the global economy and by extension the U.S. economy into reverse because of getting too protectionist, you know, how do you hedge against that? That's a whole bunch of stuff, but let me pause.
That's an excellent question. So far, the watching the sort of the pre-Trump and the post-victory Trump, the good news from Canada's perspective is I haven't heard any negative speak on trade with Canada. There may be, but I haven't heard it. I've heard negative speak about health care, which U.S. politicians love to do, but I haven't heard any negative speak about trade. So from our perspective, that's good, but we'll see. I guess we have to really look forward at what in fact is going to happen. So, you know, one of the things about portfolio management is the ability to react. It's probably more important to say what is the Fed going to do than what Donald Trump is going to do. That typically is the number one thing driving capital flows. But you raise a good point. We need to monitor and we need to react to how much is rhetoric or not. As I said, I was terribly worried about left-leaning Justin Trudeau, and it didn't turn out to be nearly as left, much more centrist than I feared, and much more pro-business and pro-trade from Canada's perspective. But I think let's just monitor it. As clients, if you see something, hear something, I value clients' input because you guys are what I call my soldiers. You're out in the front lines. I'm sitting here looking at a computer screen. You know, everyone tell me what they're hearing, what they're seeing. So let's try to make the right judgment. But for now, global capital flows still look positively to the United States, and there absolutely could be a policy disaster coming, but we don't know yet. So we just have to react as we go forward.
Thank you, Mark. Our next question is from Bruce Mills. Please go ahead.
Hi. So just judging from your comments, then, if a person was about to purchase transfer some of the Canadian cash into American cash, better to do it now than later, or better to wait until the flow turns back?
Bruce, if I could answer that question, I would be a multi-billionaire if I could predict currency prices now or next week. I think the Canadian dollar is in a trading range. If I didn't have to convert today, I would hopefully get the range a little higher. This is a knee-jerk reaction to the election, and it doesn't, you know, we've fallen just post-election, we were 78 cents. So when we fell below 74 the other day, it's kind of like, I'm glad we have some U.S. dollars, but I don't feel like converting anymore. So,
okay.
You know, Bruce, I don't know. Our fear is when the Canadian dollar cycle is over, which is probably a few years away, we're going to see a dollar lower than it is today. My census is right now we're in a trading range of maybe 73 to 76 and a half or 77. Again, our range has just dropped a cent or two from the 75 to 78 that we were seeing before.
Okay.
So I hope that helps, but you know, that's the $1 million question.
Yeah, good advice. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question is from Steve Muffert. Please go ahead.
Hey, Dave. Wondering what, if you see any opportunities in the UK, and, you know, overreaction probably from the Brexit vote, and the currency is pretty battered. So yeah, wondering what your thoughts are.
That's a great question. I mean, the Brexit created the opposite. The currency plunged, which I guess was expected, but the FTSE hit new highs and took off on Brexit, which is, again, not what the consensus was if the vote went the other way. I think Europe's getting much more interesting, and certainly European stocks have now lagged badly. So I'm going to do some more homework on that, but I think you raise an excellent point. I'd love to even privately get some of your thoughts, because I know you follow in your sector a lot of interesting companies. So for sure, let's do some more work there. As you said, currency sure has been beaten up.
Yeah, I mean, I see combination of some opportunities, but I also think it's a good. You're going to have currency tailwinds, I would expect, over next year to help you out. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Thanks.
Our next question is from Mark Wu. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Mark. Given your thoughts on the continued strength of the U.S. dollar, I was just wondering, could you comment on what your thoughts are in terms of prices on both gold and copper going forward?
That's a good question. So I guess, copper's had a decent rally. They call copper Dr. Copper because it's supposed to have a PhD in economics, because it's a great indicator for global economic activity. I guess I'm somewhat positive on copper, but I feel that I don't know what the latest numbers is, but it's well north of 40% of demand is coming from China, and we just don't want to have any China plays at all in the account. I mean, there was a big January sell-off because of fears of China slowing. They put the pedal to the metal on stimulus again. It's just piling up more and more and more debt. So again, I want to avoid China's investment team. Gold, I got to say, we're extremely neutral on it. You know, historically, gold is not the place to be when the Fed is embarking on a rate increase cycle. Certainly longer term, I think there's going to be a great move. We reduced our gold holdings a lot in August, but we still have a small position in it. And, I think it's not bad from a portfolio management perspective to own some. Am I wildly negative? No. Am I wildly positive? No. I'd rather buy some Verizon today than Goldcorp, but so that's just me. I may be wrong.
Thank you, Mark. Our next question is from Greg Bergstrom. Please go ahead, Greg.
Good morning, David. Simple question. With all the issues of Obamacare and that case, I wonder how you feel about healthcare stocks or healthcare market going forward?
So one of the stock areas that did extremely well after the election is your Abbott Labs and your Bristol Myers and your Pfizer's. And so certainly the outlook for healthcare drugs, there's negatives, because if Obamacare is going to be pulled back or repealed, there's companies that benefit and hurt, but generally the biotech index, the healthcare indexes have done well and will continue, because they're still down from their highs, and they dropped on fears of Hillary. Hillary's not in, so they should be pulled back up. And, let's remember, we all had a thesis of aging population, and the baby boomers, mostly 50s and 60s, they still like to play golf and tennis. They're not going down. They're not going down easy, but they do, have prescription drugs, over the counter drugs like never before. So it's a great theme going forward.
Thank you.
So, thanks, Doc.
And before we take our last questioner in the queue, a quick reminder to queue up. Press 01 on your handset, and to withdraw your question, press the pound sign. Our last questioner is Brad Gilbert. Please go ahead.
Good morning, David.
Hey,
Brad. More a global question, and just regarding the fact that obviously we have waters that are to some degree uncharted, and certainly some anxiety present. Corporate culture is going to play a role here, and I guess this question is feeding off an article in the Globe this weekend. And that really, we need corporations that see opportunities, but are free-footed rather than flat-footed. boards that are venturesome and inquisitive. How is that going to work moving forward in your investment strategy?
We don't do a lot of work on corporate culture per se. We love a high degree of stock participation from management. We like the discipline of a dividend from a corporate. That's sort of a cultural thing that you know, McDonald's and Johnson have been not only consistent dividend payers, but increasing their dividends. Those are the kind of companies we like. But I haven't done a lot of work in actually great companies versus lousy companies to work for. I mean, I just left one that was, I thought, a great company to work for, and the corporate culture completely changed. So I've moved on, and it doesn't seem to affect the stock price. National Bank went up.
I guess my point was more how they're directing their business rather than, I'm sorry, the corporate culture being the culture of looking out themselves. I mean, you look at IBM and BlackBerry, I mean, you know, they flamed out because they couldn't see the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely that plays a role, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's it. Thanks very much. If you didn't get your question through or you want to give us a call, drop us an email or give me a call. Again, thanks for everybody's support and happy to be here and happy that 96% of all the assets are in the door. So that's real great. And again, thanks for overwhelming support. So thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Poidevin Group Investment Update Conference Call. Thank you for your participation and have a nice day.
How many did we have there, operator?
It came up to about 139 lines in all.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.